When it came to writing, David Nash had focused on songs and music for a good part of his life. But eventually, the La Crescent, Minnesota singer-songwriter turned a song of his about Paul Bunyan into a book. The Man in the Pines was published in 2018, and in 2024, David's second novel, In Wells' Time, was published and named a Minnesota Book Award finalist in the novel and short story category. In Wells' Time tells the story of a family trait, or curse, depending on how you see it. Some members of the Monasmith family are able to stop time. Wells, in particular, has perfected the ability, which leads to the question, what would you do if you could hold on to time? In Wells' Time isn't a work of science fiction. The story is more focused on characters, personal relationships, and family. The time-stopping elements are nuanced and serve more as a mechanism for readers to think about what time means to us and how we spend it. Here's our What We're Reading conversation with David Nash. In Wells' Time is your latest novel. The Monasmith family has a special trait that gets passed down that allows some the ability to stop time. Tell us more about this extraordinary family.
Yeah, so thank you for that question. They have a trait, and it's what's called an X-linked trait. So it's carried on the X chromosome. And what that the significance of that is that some people have more than one X chromosome, and some people tend to have one. And if you only have one and you carry the trait, you could express that mutation or that trait on there fully. So all of the women in Wells's family carry this trait, and they can use it differently, which is more hinted at in the story. But Wells uses it fully, and his mom, we learn a little bit about her past with her brothers, and we get to sort of guess a little bit about what happened with them. But the idea was just, what if you could hold on to time a little bit longer? What would you do with that time? You know, and it gets to sort of the deeper question of how do we use our time and what is valuable to us? And I think each of the family members, who I think represent a little bit different pieces of me in a way, all value different aspects of their time and their life. And so we just get to see it play out, and there's not necessarily a right or wrong how we use our time, but the hope is that we're intentional about it. And if you had this gift, you know, you'd watch, we get to see someone maybe choose it wisely at times and choose it unwisely at other times. So.
So you said that the different family members are kind of a representation of you. Can you give us a couple examples of that?
So Wells has three sisters. I'm from a family of four siblings, but it's three boys and one girl. His oldest sister, Monica, is very professionally driven, and she sees those accolades as something that's really important to who she is. Heather is really motivated by family and the closeness of those relationships. And Leslie, their youngest sister, she's emotionally driven in a different way. She really wants to feel, follow, you know, that compass, her emotional compass. And I think I see that in myself, in lots of ways. And you're often trying to, those things sometimes are competing with each other, and sometimes you're trying to get them to work together, balancing family and work, but also what you feel you need to do in that any particular moment. And so, it was just fun to sort of show those different ways to live. And again, knowing that they're all important and they take different weight at different times in our lives.
So with this gift, or I've heard it described as possibly a curse, Wells learns that the more he uses it, the more likely he will meet an early death. And with this is one of the toughest decisions Wells will have to make in the story. Can you talk about this choice he has to make? And was this symbolic of something perhaps in your own life that you were trying to express or work through?
I don't know yet. I guess if it was symbolic for me, yes, it. I think the way I started to think about the gift, or curse, is that, there are pluses and minuses to it, and you have to make a choice about it. It is also like something else that I think if some. In a way, you could think of it kind of like addiction, or abuse of whether a substance or an activity. And so I did try to treat it that way a little bit. I think that I know personally there's I'm the type of person who can I quickly pick up hobbies or activities and I can really dive into them. And I know that at times that I have to pull back, maybe I in my family, it's sort of like, hey, well, what are we doing? What are we doing here? We're still all here too. So, you can't just stop time and leave people and expect them to be there right when you come back. And if you could, whatever you experienced during that time, isn't necessarily shared. So I'm not sure yet how his choices resemble what I'm was going through. I know that when it started, I initially, when I was writing about this book, I was thinking it was sort of about anxiety. But I think that's just sort of how, because one way the book started was there was a time around when I was beginning to think about this. My son and my daughter had maybe turned one or so, and were a little bit older. And I remember waking up in the middle of the night, and it was just like they're growing so fast. And time is moving so fast, and it was, the worst train of thought to get in at 3 a.m. when it's dark and you're thinking of space and eternity and forever and all these, massive things. And I could not fall asleep, and my heart started racing. And I don't suffer from anxiety in the way that clinically necessarily, but it was the closest thing to a panic attack I think I felt, where I really had to consciously settle myself down, and it was. And so that did at least spark some of that concept of what if I could slow it down, hold on to a hug a little longer, and then that led to some research and conversations with friends and things, and that sort of started the book. So maybe it's not so much that his choices, at least at this time, represent something I am going through, but at least the beginning of the journey started with something I went through.
We're talking with Minnesota writer David Nash here on What We're Reading. David's latest novel is In Wells's Time. David, I saw on your publisher's page for In Wells's Time, Unsolicited Press, there is a playlist for the book and artists that include Regina Spektor, Humbird, Alabama Shakes, Bob Dylan, Gillian Welch, and you are yourself a musician. Can you tell us about this playlist and what the songs mean to this story or to your process writing the story?
I love music, and I'm one of the people who can. Some people need total quiet when they write, and some people are good with the chaos of a coffee shop or an airport or something. I really like having music around, and if it's the right music, sometimes I can just flow with it in a way. Humbird, who's a regional musician, is a wonderful person, and her album Pharmacon, I would just put that on, and usually it fit with about the time that I had to write, so it actually kept as like a pace setter for me, and I could just sort of feel that the emotion as she's singing and performing and write through a scene, and it kind of let me get out of the way of myself. So I like that piece of writing where if you can sort of. It's sort of like that dance, like no one's watching thing, where you're not, it's not choreographed, so you're not trying too hard. And that really helps me with the first draft. And so then I intentionally tried to add in music throughout the book as well for these characters because it's important to me. And so I wanted it to be in there too. And so we see a little bit of that. And that's part of what unite, I think, where Wells and Leslie connect a little bit is through music. So the playlist itself is part what I was listening to. Part what's in the book, and each of those songs that I put in there were important to me in one way or another through a different time in my life, and it just felt sort of like a natural fit. But music and writing, as you sort of allude to it. It just goes well together for me. They seem to marry nicely.
Your book has been nominated as a Minnesota Book Award finalist. How does that feel?
It's hard to put to words. It's an honor. It's exciting. It's bizarre, unexpected. It's all just sort of a strange journey in a way. So I don't know how it's supposed to feel other than just really neat. So I'm just trying to enjoy it. It seems it's I guess it's hard to put into it's hard to put into perspective the significance of it. And when I got the list of the other finalists, so I'm not a great reader, and I feel so bad because I hadn't heard of any of them, which is the stupidest thing to admit. I know. And but I and then I started looking it up, and I was like, oh, I guess Louise's book, The Night Watchman. I was like, I have heard of that, but I never read it. And oh my gosh, I haven't read Obligation to the Wounded yet. I need to pick it up through my local bookstore. But I've read the others, and then as I've learned about them, and then I've talked to other people who like know books, like my friend who's a librarian, and my writing buddies. They're like, duh, like don't you know who those people are? And so it's been really, it feels so I guess it still feels maybe a little bit like imposter syndrome. And so I'm excited to meet these other nine finalists, and I'm excited to and thankful just to be a part of it, and that the book is resonating with some people. That means a lot.
David Nash is the author of In Wells's Time, published by Unsolicited Press. It's What We're Reading. I'm Tammy Bobrowski.